Thou who hast created us, Thou who hast made the snow and given us the beauties of nature, Thou who hast set us here to glorify Thee, we are grateful on this beautiful winter morning that our lives are preserved and that we are here in this place of worship. We believe that our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit is in the midst of us, and therefore we rejoice that we are one in Him. Dear Lord, we remember today those who are less fortunate than ourselves, those who are not as warm as they should be, those who lack the necessities of life, those who are shut in and ill. May we never forget them in our comfort, in our ease, in our affluence. May we always remember those who are less fortunate than ourselves. We pray today, O God, Thy blessings upon this beloved seminary. We thank Thee for all that it has meant in the past and for all that it will contribute to our life in the future. O Lord God, may we, faculty, students, administration, all who have any hand in the ongoing of this seminary, rededicate ourselves anew to its high and noble purposes. Give us that selflessness, we pray, which will enable us to be good stewards of the mysteries of God. We pray, O God, for Thy presence now, Thy Holy Spirit with our visiting brother as he speaks to us. May our minds and our hearts be open, and may he sense our loving fraternity with Him, our relationship of love that extends to all those whom He loved. Guide and direct us now as we further wait in Thy presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our visiting speaker this morning, whom we are very happy to have on our campus, is Dr. W. Edwin Richardson. Dr. Richardson is the chairman of the Department of Bible of Carson Newman College. Many of our students through the years, really an unusual number, have come from Carson Newman College. And certainly we are delighted to have Dr. Richardson as the representative of this fine Baptist institution. Dr. Richardson is a BA graduate of Mississippi College. He received his Master of Theology degree from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, his PhD degree from this institution. Before going to his present position as the chairman of Bible at Carson Newman, Dr. Richardson was president of two colleges. He was president of Bethel College in Kentucky and of Cumberland College. So he has been promoted from a presidency to the office of teacher. One of the fine things about Dr. Richardson is that he is the father of Mrs. Virgil Moorefield, who with her husband was a student here several years ago. And the Moorefields, as some of you know, are now missionaries to Italy and have been doing a wonderful work there. We saw them When we were in Italy a little over 2 years ago, when they were just beginning to learn the language, but already they were making their influence felt. Since that time, Dr. Moorfield has served in various capacities. We are very happy indeed to have his father-in-law and the father of this fine girl, young woman who was with us several years ago. Dr. Richardson, we are very happy to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. McDowell. I'm visiting your campus for the second time. And when I arrived yesterday afternoon, it looked just like it did on the morning of December the 11th, 1957. It's a beautiful white community and a white campus. And I might believe what you say if you have sometimes when there's not snow, but I have not witnessed it with my own eyes. You're a beautiful white campus every time I have seen it. It's a little bit like coming back home here. Dr. McDowell was on the committee of the faculty that gave me my last 2-hour grilling in the seminary. I went to school with Dr. Staley and taught school 1 year in high school with him. I went to school with Dr. Binkley. I went to school with Dr. Green and Dr. Whalen. I went to school to Dr. Weatherspoon, and I know you're beginning to think now that if I stayed in the seminary that long, I got my diploma on the homestead plan. Then we have a number of Carson Newman men and women here. Some of them graduated from Carson Newman before I arrived there, since this is my third year at Carson Newman. Appreciate the opportunity of worshiping with you here this morning. I'd like to read from the first chapter of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Or unto which of the angels hath he said at any time, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers flames of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is from it forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou roll them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? He makes his ministers flames of fire. Preachers are made preachers, not born preachers. And the making of a minister begins with God. We open the Bible and read in the beginning God. Whatever beginning you take, the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, the beginning of man, or whenever it was, God was. And a man who's going to be a real preacher, to him, God must be all in all. He must be saturated with the majesty, the magnanimity, and the matchlessness of Christ. If we are to judge Christ today as we judge other men, we would have to say that he was not a very successful man. For he wrote no book, he painted no picture, he composed no music, he designed no building, he owned no property, he never traveled beyond the borders of the little country in which he was born but twice. And even before he reached the prime of life, he died. And most ignominious death between two criminals. If we could say that about any man in North Carolina who died this month, his name would not reach the front page of a county newspaper. But when we stop to think, we recognize that there have been more books written about this man who never wrote a book than any other man. That the greatest art in the world is inspired by him who painted no picture. And the greatest compositions in music are those that have gotten their themes from him who never wrote any music. And today the most beautiful buildings in all the world are buildings that are dedicated to the man who never designed a building. Millions and millions of dollars worth of church buildings and college and school properties are owned in the name of him who never owned any property. There isn't a country in the world today where his name is not known, though he traveled slightly. And while he died between two robbers, today his name is above every name. And what you and I think about, the name of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with what he is. For he is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, whatever we think of him. But what we think of him has a great deal to do with what we are. From one point of view, many people look upon him as a great man, perhaps the greatest who ever lived. But simply a man and nothing more. There are others who hold firmly to his humanity, but they recognize in him as being unique. That he is the incarnation and the revelation of the eternal God. And they not only respect and admire him, but they love him and give to him an authority over their lives which they'll give to nobody else. I turn to the third chapter of Ephesians and bring you what Paul said his conception of God was. He referred to God as him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I think our conception of God ought to be that large. I sat in a college class one time when the professor, who did not believe our Christian schools were worth much, he took a pencil and laid it on the desk and pushed it off. Now he said, some folks are foolish enough to think God could have kept that pencil from falling to the floor. I'm sorry for a man whose conception of God is puny. I think we ought to look upon God as just what Paul said he was. one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He who becomes a real preacher must be called of God. I know of no better place to look to see the story of a man called of God to preach the gospel than the prophet Jeremiah. These are his words. Now the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I know not how to speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, Stop saying I'm a child. But wheresoever I send you, you shall go, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid because of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to throw down and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah said he became a prophet because God spoke to him and said, I knew you before you were born. I had a purpose for your life before you were born. And I think it's entirely reasonable that we might draw the same conclusions for ourselves, that God knew us before we got here, and God had a purpose for us when we came. And he said to Jeremiah, I've appointed you a prophet, and Jeremiah had the right reaction when he looked at himself and recognized that he was totally inadequate for that great job. And who is adequate to be a proclaimer of the great good news of Jesus Christ? Jeremiah knew that he wasn't. Every true pastor trembles when he stands before a worshiping congregation, for he recognizes that he holds in his hand a book that contains a message which, if received, will deliver men from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and love and life eternal. And if it is rejected, it seals men in that separation from God forever. We might well tremble as we undertake this great calling. But God said to Jeremiah what I think he means for us too. You have well taken a look at yourself and recognized your inadequacy. Now stop looking at yourself and lift your eyes to him who called you. Any man who does not take a look at himself and recognize that he is inadequate for this job hasn't started right. But the man who continues to look at himself will be discouraged and not be able to go on with it, and must lift his eyes from the horizontal view to the vertical and look upon him who called you. He knew that we were inadequate, but also he never calls a person and leaves him without power. For the power comes from God, not from us. He came to minister, not to be ministered unto, and we are to be like him in that respect. The minister's, preacher's obsession is service. He puts service above self. Like Jesus, he empties himself. There are lots of pastorless churches today, and an empty pulpit is a pitiable plight. But grace, when an empty pulpit is an empty head in the pulpit. And even worse than that is an empty heart in that head, in that preacher. For we are to be flames of fire with a burning compassion for men, to bring men to know Jesus Christ, and then to keep on leading men in growth in Jesus Christ. This fire comes from God. The early disciples tarried until they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and this fire must be fed. You're going to study a great deal more after you get out of the pastorate than you have here, and we ought. And as long as we proclaim the truth of God, we must keep on feeding that fire, or there shall not be the flame that it's essential there shall be if we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the privilege of being witnesses for Thee. We pray that Thou shalt help us to be faithful in all that we do, putting Jesus Christ first in every phase of life, and giving of ourselves diligently to be the best we can be as Thy servants. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.